Thank you so much.
All right, we're recording.
Great. Thank you so much, Vaughn. All right, I would like to call our September 8th Law Enforcement Public Safety meeting, committee meeting to order. I would like to begin by asking for a motion to approve the minutes from the August 4th, 2022 meeting.
So moved.
All right, second. Moved by Majority Leader Hepner, second by Legislator Lopez. Any discussion on the minutes? All right, all those in favor of approving the August 4th, 2022 meeting minutes? Any opposed? All right, the meeting minutes are approved unanimously. We are going to jump right into resolutions for tonight. Our first resolution is resolution number 189, establishing a policy prohibiting the housing of incarcerated individuals transferred from facilities outside of Ulster County, the no more incarceration for profit policy. Can I have a motion to discuss?
Motion.
All right, moved by Deputy Chair Hansett, second by Majority Leader Hepner. And I have an update. If it's all right with the committee, I'll jump in on that, and then we can hear from others. Legislator Maloney and Sheriff Figueroa and I met a few weeks ago and talked about what types of changes might be needed here in order to make this a policy that, you know, we feel comfortable moving forward with. I'll do my best to sum up the changes. And I think we do, yeah, it looks like we have Legislator Maloney on the phone here. But if it's all right, I'll just, since I have my computer in front of me, I'll kind of sum it up first.
I'm good with that, Abe.
Great, thank you, Legislator Maloney. So essentially, the major changes are as follows. You know, as per our conversation, there are circumstances where it is appropriate and actually compassionate in order to house inmates for neighboring counties so that they can be closer to their families. And if, God forbid, we ever had a problem at the jail and we couldn't house the folks that are in our custody and our care, I would want, and I think we would all want, a neighboring county to be willing to house them at, rather than having them need to go much farther away. These things do happen. The compromise that we reached to enable that is, rather than prohibiting those types of transfers, to include a reporting requirement that would make sure that the legislature was always informed of any such transfers. So the reporting requirement that we added here in this amended version that was emailed out to everyone would require the sheriff to, within 30 days of a transfer, provide a report that included the number of the individuals transferred, the facility they were transferred from, the amount per transfer, meaning the payment amount, the any overtime costs that would be anticipated from this, and what the overtime situation is at the jail, as evidenced by the last 3 months of overtime costs incurred. So that is the compromise that we came to on the county to county incarcerated individuals. There was a discussion about federal incarcerees, and what a number of us felt strongly about was that those should be prohibited as well. It's worth noting that Sheriff Figueroa, you know, is not, and I shouldn't speak for him too much, but I'll say this is not an issue that we are dealing with currently. We don't have federal inmates. And Sheriff Figueroa pointed out certain situations where there might be a requirement. The compromise that we came to on that is prohibiting the federal wardens except under circumstances as determined by an emergency for the safety of the public, for the safety of the folks that might need to be transferred because it's a sensitive person that, you know, is unsafe where they are, or there's some sort of emergency. So there's a number of exceptions that we included in order to make sure that in an emergency, the sheriff would not need to come to the legislature before handling that emergency. And those are the major changes that we made here. There was one whereas that was removed. And if anyone has questions about that, I'm happy to discuss it. I hope that this is something that we can find agreement on. I think this is a good compromise, and I open the floor to any discussion on it. Sheriff Figueroa?
Yes, good evening, everyone. And yes, I just wanted to lay some facts out. First and foremost, I did agree to some of these compromises. I understand the issue that we're talking about, and that's making a profit with incarcerated individuals. And I definitely agree with the legislature regarding that. But I also want to remind the folks that the office of sheriff is a constitutional office, and it's the sheriff that runs the jail, not the legislature. And it's very important for me to point that out. With that said, I do not have any federal inmates now, nor do I intend to accept any federal inmates in the future. And I know we're worried about what the future sheriff will do, but I think that's something that the future legislature and the future sheriff should be worried about. We also will have federal inmates that have local charges that we're going to have to bring back to deal with those charges locally, but that's been identified in this resolution that the chair has rewritten, and I appreciate that very much. But the folks are in the custody of the sheriff, and there are mandates and requirements that the State Commission on Corrections gives the sheriff. And some of these have already been identified in the resolutions, and I'm okay with it.
Great. Thank you, Sheriff Figueroa. Anyone else? Legislator Maloney, I don't know if you're available on the phone, if you wanted to weigh in at all.
Yes. No, I'd like to. You know, first of all, I'd like to say that I appreciate the sheriff and how, you know, I understand where he's coming from. We had that discussion about jurisdiction, and as the policymakers of the county and the jail being a county owned piece of property, us being fund appropriators, I did think there was a total jurisdiction there to come up with a policy like this because it's a county owned piece of property. But that being said, a lot of this was already being done, and we made sure that language was in there to acknowledge that this wasn't. This is almost codifying most of what the sheriff had already done himself when he first took over the jail. You know, most of the stuff that this would be curtailing was going on before the sheriff was elected. But I also think that we were losing money. $70 a day. I don't think it was. It's budgetary. You know, the idea of building a jail around a for rent jail, which was the original. Plan I thought many years ago, which I think a lot of us disagree with the overall approach. And then on top of it, I think we end up losing money when you take into account overtime and other things. But really, it was the chair said, we had some meetings with the sheriff, and he really was open-minded, and this is his jail, and we acknowledge that, and we all came to an agreement. Almost everything in here, I think, is 100% agreed upon by a couple of us legislators and the sheriff. But I'm happy with it, and I think it's good going forward. No matter who the next legislature is or the next sheriff years down the line, I think this is a good policy to have.
Thank you, Legislator Maloney. Legislator Erter?
Thank you, Chair Uchitel. Can folks hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
So not being on the committee, I haven't seen any of the changes that the chair had read about. But in the original that I had, it looked like it would really take a lot of discretion from the sheriff, in which I understand why the sheriff wouldn't like for that to be the case. Does the new version actually restore any discretion that the resolution I'm reading had taken away?
If I may jump in with the answer there. So first of all, Legislator Erner, I just forwarded you the packet. I'm sorry for not including you on that, but it should be in your inbox now. And the discretion, it says in the updated resolution, I'm now looking at the wrong one here, that the sheriff has the discretion to determine what is an emergency or a situation where the safety of the individual is at risk, and that's the requirement for the board in, or that the safety of the public is at risk, and that's the requirement for the board in. So the that discretion is explicit.
Thank you.
And Abe, if I could, I think the original legislation had totally prohibited county, you know, the majority of boarding is other counties. And that actually is now reportable. That is, the sheriff has complete discretion. He just gives us a rundown of some different things when we are going to board from other counties. So that's quite a bit more discretion that we've settled on.
Thank you. That's a good point. I was thinking about the prohibition around federal. I mean, the fact that we removed the prohibition for county to county boardings is a pretty significant point that we shifted to restore the discretion of the sheriff's office. Any other questions or concerns, comments? All right, if there's no other questions, I will call the question on resolution number 189. All those in 189 as amended.
Right. Have you voted to amend it? Yeah.
I believe, because it was included in the resolution packet, we do not need an additional vote to amend. We can vote to approve it as amended. If I'm mistaken, though, please correct me.
I believe you're correct.
Great. Thank you so much. All those in favor of resolution number 189 as amended and emailed out this afternoon? Aye. Any opposed? All right. It is any abstaining? It is unanimous. Thank you so much. Moving on from there, resolution number 464, approving the execution of a contract for $81,000 entered into by the county. Center for Public Safety Management, LLC, the Office of Emergency Management. Can I have a motion to discuss? Motion from Deputy Chair Hansen. Can I have a second?
Second.
I'll give it to Legislator Hewitt here this time. All right. I believe, would it be fair to say that Director Erickson, you're the best person to speak on this? Yeah,
I can definitely speak to this. So this right here is to conduct a comprehensive study of EMS in Ulster County. As everyone is, I think, mostly aware that we have a serious EMS issue. Currently, up to date, EMS calls received through our 911 center has been 17,349. 11% of those calls are unanswered calls, meaning that the EMS agency that covers that jurisdiction was unable to assemble a crew to respond. And that isn't like a fluke in numbers. If you look at the weekly, monthly, quarterly numbers, we're averaging 9 to 11% of unanswered calls. Which is a very, very, very scary thing for us. You know, when someone calls and says they need an ambulance, we need to have an ambulance responding to assist them. So at times we're going, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 dispatches for an ambulance. You know, there's times where we're pulling ambulances out of Sullivan County to respond. Wait times for up to an hour to get an ambulance to someone's home. That's one of the big things I think that keeps me up at night with this job, is not being able to provide assistance to our residents. So this study is a comprehensive study to look at EMS as a whole. And that's from not just the agencies that provide EMS response in our county, but from the time the phone rings to the time to get to the hospital and that ambulance goes back in service. You know, reviewing our protocols internally at the 911 center, which currently we're reviewing them right now to see if there's anything that we can do to expedite or to help manage our EMS problem, to, you know, the response of basic life support, which is just your EMTs, to advanced life support, which is an ambulance with a paramedic on it. We did establish our EMS task force, which legislator Heppner sits on as well. And a lot of good things have come out of this task force so far, one of them being this comprehensive study that we feel needs to be done. But we're submitting a letter to New York State Department of Health for Ulster County to hold a course, be a course sponsor for EMS training, for it to be done locally. We've reviewed additional other counties and what approaches they've taken to EMS. So a lot of those things, and what we expect to come out of this study is actionable items, not something we're just going to put on the shelf. We want actionable items, but sustainable actionable items. You know, we just don't want to have an actual item that we're not going to be able to sustain. We need to develop a system, an EMS system, that's going to be sustainable for our residents.
Thank you, Director Erickson. Leader Heppner, would you like to ask a question next?
Well, actually, I just wanted to, Everett just, Everett and Rich and all the folks that have been serving on the EMS task force, it's been really a great learning experience and also great discussions. And I think Everett actually just closed up after I raised my hand exactly what I was saying, which I appreciate, was, the understanding that this study, is about actionable items that can actually bring back real solutions to the legislature and, us as policymakers, as well as to the executive's office and the administration. So I just want to thank, but, I think that's the most important goal of this study, is to get true actionable items. We understand the situation we're at. It's, very dire. In Woodstock, where I represent, in West Hurley, we have, in Woodstock, we have EMS going on the other side of the reservoir to help, support, calls, which is, a scary thing when you think about it, especially if you're that family on the other side of the reservoir waiting for an EMS squad from Woodstock to get there. So again, I think the study is important, and, the way it worked out in the RFP is to make sure that, again, we have actual actionable items for us as policymakers. So again, thank you, Everett, and thank you to the EMS task force.
Thank you so much. And before we go to Deputy Executive Kelly, I just want to ask a quick question, and whoever knows the answer, if it's, can just raise their hand. But is this going to include analyzing calls that require air transport as well?
So yeah, this will be reviewed, review all our calls that we handle in the county. Air transport, that's determined by the agency that covers that area. They're the one that make that request. So they'll speak to them. They'll interview Air Methods, which provides the air transport. They're part of the interview process. They're going to interview all the agencies that provide EMS to Ulster County. But yes. So I guess that answers your question. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to think it through, just make sure I get it.
Well, I'm thinking specifically about some of these calls that require multiple forms of transport. And like, I know, an air transport in Kingston requires an actual, an EMS vehicle to take you from the hospital to the a landing pad. And I just want to make sure that's all going to be looked at holistically.
So just so you're aware, the reason why that's done that way right now, and I think pretty sure you're referring to the helicopter landing at SP Kingston, and us having to send an ambulance there and transport from SP Kingston to the hospital. Their helipad has been out of service because of the construction. They're working on getting that back up and running. We've had multiple conversations with the hospital and expressed how this is really additionally taxing our EMS agencies. So we're trying to rectify that. It's been going on for a while now, and we're trying to work with them to really rectify that problem.
Okay, great. Thank you. Deputy Executive Kelly.
Thank you, Chair. So just a few things on the study and then also kind of the unanswered calls part, which is a very important thing for everybody to understand. In terms of the study, what I'm looking for from a administrative and budgetary standpoint is options. As a county organization, we have the unique ability to coordinate at a, you know, we're a county government, we're the regional entity that has the ability to look at this holistically. I think when we first entered into this, it was partially assumed by some of us on the outside that this was largely a rural issue and a volunteer-based issue. But if you talk to anybody in the city of Kingston, they're experiencing longer wait times and unanswered calls because of lack of resources within the city of Kingston as well. So this is a countywide issue. And I think I think one of the early determinations for us would be that it requires a countywide solution. With that comes financing, modeling for how we pay for the service or what those services will be. So that will be of particular interest probably heading into the 23 budget cycle, not this one, but the next one, that I think we all have to keep in mind that whenever it's talking about, you know, calls for service, if 911 gets a call and it takes them 11 or 12 times to get somebody to even respond, think of the time lost for a cardiac arrest, any type of emergency, that it took us 11 or 12 call outs to get somebody to respond. And you may be pulling somebody from 20, 30 minutes away. So this is not something that, I mean, that we can obviously, it's not sustain is the wrong word. It's not something that is providing a life-saving service in a way that respects our residents. So when we do start to talk about what a solution looks like, we have to remember the situation that we're dealing with. And we'll do our best to keep communicating this. And it is somewhat of a drumbeat, but it's a reality. The other part of this reality is that we're not the only ones experiencing this. And if you ask Dutchess County or any other county in the area, probably in the state, they're experiencing levels of this as well. Where you rely on volunteers. We're losing volunteers, you know, left and right. We have lost the ability to recruit. It's a training issue. And then when you get to the paid side on ALS, it's a pay issue. You do not pay enough for the services they're providing, or the private sector hasn't been consistent enough in doing that. So they lose employees left and right too. I mean, you ask any of these EMS technicians, whether they're volunteer or not, they probably work two or three jobs. And I guarantee you that the people sitting at the 911 desks are also your volunteers on your fired and your EMS side. So we're continually taxing the same people and we're not giving them the resources they need to provide the services. So this is kind of a beginning point. The consultant's going to probably validate many of these concerns and then give us that roadmap. But I think there's going to be within the next, probably this October or November, Everett and I are working on an interim step where maybe we can work with the sheriff's department and some of the police that do respond. And some of them are trained EMTs. How can we utilize those forces that are able to respond to at least get in there and potentially stabilize? So how could we fund something like that with ARP or some other method? But we can't just wait for next year. We can't wait for this kind of long-term solutioning. We have a very bad problem now. So we'll be putting forth something in the next couple of months that hopefully will begin to at least provide a bridge to better services. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheriff Figueroa.
I cannot agree more with Chris Kelly and Everett Erickson. I'm the vice chair of the New York Association of Counties Public Safety Committee. And there's a resolution in place, because this is a statewide issue, to establish special districts to finance these general ambulance services. It's a huge public safety issue. when God forbid there's a shooting and there's not enough ambulances to respond to any type of mass shooting. So it's a public safety issue, and we need to really take action within the county. And I applaud both Everett and Chris for doing what they're doing. That we have to really think outside the box. One of the things that I brought up at the meeting last year as the vice chair was that we have to incentivize the volunteer folks. Maybe give them 5 points like we give the veterans 5 points or 2.5 points for any civil service test. But we have to figure out a way to get volunteerism back up to speed, or we're going to have to pay. And if not, people's lives are at stake here. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other comments or questions? I'll just say, you know, as someone personally whose life was saved by a very quick medical intervention at Kingston Hospital and you know, had to be transported, you know, I am very much looking forward to supporting this work in any way that I can, because I almost died and it could happen to anybody. So this is the most critical work that we can do. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. This just made me think about a report that I read about local newspapers. And I recently brought up in the legislature about how we don't support our local publishers enough with our tourism department. I read that as local newspapers disappear, volunteerism diminishes, because people don't realize how much the school needs volunteers and the fire department needs volunteers. So I think encouraging in the future local publications, it could help the volunteerism issue.
Thank you, Legislator Hewitt. All right, I think at this point we can call the question on resolution number 464. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, it is unanimous. Moving on to resolution number 465, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the counties of Orange, Rockland, and Sullivan for the purpose of creating a regional partnership for fire/emergency services. This is through the fire coordinator. Can I have a motion to discuss? Motion from Deputy Chair Hansen. Can I have a second? Second from Leader Heppner. And let's see, Everett, would this be your bailiwick as well? Great, thank you so much.
So this is a consortium. It's for a grant that we do every single year for $142,000 between Rockland, Orange, Sullivan, and us. It addresses hazmat response. We use this to buy hazmat suits for the county hazmat team, which is the city of Kingston. They supply the hazmat coverage for the county. So every year we meet, we decide what team needs what we need to purchase. We come up with our grant application, and so this is a yearly thing that we put forward.
And if I may ask, why is it done in collaboration with other counties? Why don't we just have our own funding source?
So the consortium is actually established by New York State. We're not the only four that do this. I don't know which each county consortium, which each consortium is and who's in each one. These are the ones that are in our Hudson Valley Consortium. It's just established by New York State DHSCS. And it's basically, you're going to get these funds as long as you put in the application. They make one of the counties needs to be the holder. It's been Rockland recently just moved to Orange. In a few years, Orange will get tired of it and they'll say, Ulster, it's going to be your turn. So it's just established by New York State.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from anyone else? All right, then I'll call a question on resolution number 465. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right, 465 is unanimous. All right, moving on. Resolution number 466, declaring Ulster County's intent to act as lead agency under New York State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQRA, for the construction of a public safety radio tower and appurtenances to be located on the Tonch Mountain town of all of New York, Department of Emergency Services. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, Legislator Heppner, second from Legislator Hewitt. All right, and I don't know if this is Everett or Chris, but if one of you wants to just give us the background on replacement of this tower.
So currently, you know, there is a tower there. With the studies being performed for the new radio system for the fire service, the tower height needs to be raised. So that's what this is for.
Legislator Heppner.
Just, I'm assuming you've done the due diligence, but just wanted to confirm that the town of Olive, Supervisor DeFranco, and the board are all on board with this.
Yes.
And yep.
So Dennis and Steve Peterson have been working on this project. We have multiple towers that are currently being worked on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thanks. I know Legislator Stewart is working on the Hurley Dead Zone, but I'm just wondering, Everett, will this improve the Hurley Dead Zone?
I do not believe it would.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions or concerns? All right. Then I will call the question on resolution number 466. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. Number 466 is unanimous. Resolution number 438, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with the governor's traffic safety committee for the police traffic services program, amending the 2022 Ulster County budget through the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. Can I have a motion to discuss?
I'll move it.
All right, motion from Legislator Lopez, second from Legislator Hewitt.
I'm also wondering if you skipped something.
No, my resolution packet goes from 466 to 483.
Okay, thank you.
I just want to make sure.
I got the wrong one. Sorry about that.
That's okay. No worries. And Fawn, if I am missing anything, please jump in. But I think we're good. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So anyway, the motion and the second are on the table. We're in discussion now on 466. On 483. I will pass it to Sheriff Figueroa to give us some background.
So this is the Buckle Up New York Click It or Ticket grant. We usually get about $17,000 for the purposes of setting up details and public safety regarding traffic safety.
And if I may jump in, is this going to be overseen by the traffic safety board that we maintain as well, or is it completely separate from that?
No, this is given by the state of New York to the different agencies in order to, whether it's the holiday or DWI patrols, basically it's for traffic safety. And it's separate from the traffic safety board.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, just Sheriff, if you could, so it's not just, seatbelts. You said it's also DWI stops on holiday weekends. Like we just had Labor Day weekend. So I'm just curious how exactly that $17,000 is spent.
So the state puts out a schedule of events, for example, distracted driving weekend, and we are required to have patrols to do exactly that. So we'll have extra, it could be overtime that we put our folks in to enforce what that particular event is.
Thank you.
And just to further clarify, these are not monies that are distributed to other agencies. This is all through this is all for sheriff's office work.
Correct.
Got it. Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Then I will call the question on resolution number 83. All those in favor? Any opposed? Resolution number 83 is unanimous. Resolution number 484, sorry, resolution number 483 is unanimous, just to clarify, I missed a number. Resolution number 484, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services Project GIVE, Ulster County Sheriff, District Attorney, and Probation. Can I have a motion to discuss? A motion from Deputy Chair Hansett, second from Majority Leader Heppner. And I love seeing a multi-agency resolution, but it does leave a question as to who should lead out the explanation for it. So I'll let whoever wants to jump in.
I'd give it to Nancy Schmidt.
All right. That sounds great. Nancy, go ahead. Thank you, Director. Sure.
So the GIVE grant is funding we get from DCJS, and it's an interagency collaboration. KPD is involved, the sheriff, DA, probation. We have crime analysts. The goal is to reduce gun violence and aggravated assaults in the county. A lot of the funding goes towards the Intimate Partner Violence Initiative, and for probation, we use it to fund half of our two POs that are dedicated to that initiative, specialized caseloads for domestic violence, increased enhanced supervision, GPS. There's a bunch of other things that we use the funding for. And then each of the agencies has, you know, specific staffing that they dedicate it towards, but it is the GIVE initiative that's runs July to July. So the numbers are for half of 22 and half of 23.
So for the sheriff's office, it supports the salary, a portion of the salary for a member that we have assigned to the Child Advocacy Center for the DA's office.
Great, thank you. And is there, in terms of the district attorney's office, I know that I don't think we have someone from the DA's office here. Is there anything specific we should know about their role in this?
They are the lead agency. And the Intimate Partner Violence Initiative operates out of their office, and they lead that and coordinate it.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the committee? Or any other legislators that are present? All right, well, then I will call the question on resolution number 484. All those in favor? Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, 484 is unanimous. Resolution number 485, authorizing the chair of the legislature to accept funding from the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the aid to prosecution program from the district attorney's office. Can I have a motion to discuss? All right, motion from Deputy Chair Hansett. Can I have a second?
Second.
Second from Majority Leader Heppner. All right. Now, again, we don't have someone from the DA's office here to discuss this. I don't know if there's any familiarity among probation or the sheriff's office that would like to speak in on it. Although I will say there weren't any issues that were uncovered in the chair's meeting, or you know, I don't foresee there being anything of concern here personally. All right, well, that being the case, is there any questions from the committee? All right, well, I am comfortable moving forward with this. I know this is a program that has been going on for a while and certainly wanted to continue. So all those in favor of resolution number 485? Any opposed? All right, resolution number 485 is unanimous. That is the end of our resolutions for tonight. We do have a couple of updates, one in old business to a new business we'll get to in a second, but first with the old business, there is an update that I would like Deputy Executive Kelly to share regarding progress on the Government Operations Center. Now that we've gone through this secondary appraisal and have further discussed it as it's been in the Ways and Means Committee. Deputy Executive Kelly, if you could share an update with the Law Enforcement Committee, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So after we received the appraisal from the legislature, that was the second appraisal done on the 50-plus acre parcel in New Paltz. We did hear back from the seller of that property, who has now offered, has kind of made his final and best offer of a 6-acre parcel on that land for approximately $1.8 million. Part of this is, you know, I think in the beginning, 2 or 3 months ago, when it was asked if they would break the property up at that time, I think from a business perspective, they didn't see the need. They believed in the value and still believed in the value of their property. But I think after consideration and seeing the dueling kind of these appraisals couldn't be more different. They couldn't be more different in approach and the way that they looked at these properties. So I think that they looked at it and said, if there is an opportunity to work with the county on something, the 6-acre parcel that they've partitioned out would be that. It would be adequate for what we're trying to do. I think one thing that kind of got lost in the discussion and needs to really feed what we're talking about here and why New Paltz in particular is a good location for 911 and emergency operations. You have redundant trunk lines that are going to be running into this site. You have, in terms of power and redundancy and how often it actually goes out, that line running through New Paltz and Lloyd is much more resilient than the one running into Kingston in our current 911 center. It also allows us, and the sheriff brought this up on one of our past meetings, it is just bad planning when we have an opportunity to build a new emergency operations center, a 911 center, to put all of our eggs in one basket in the city of Kingston in the event that Kingston no longer allows us to operate. And we've experienced that in the past. We need to spread out. It's a large county. That location on the thruway, with the redundant trunk lines, with the redundant fiber coming in from the southern end and from the northern end, gives us that kind of resiliency that we need for a modern center in a county. Just look at the last 8 months. Look at what we've experienced. We need to build something that's going to keep us ready for the future. So the 57 acres, it's off the table right now. It seems like that's a no-go. But I really want, if we're going to continue this discussion and if this is still viable or not, we need to make sure that we're still prioritizing not, you know, $500,000 here or there on a building that's supposed to last us the next 50 to help us manage through all of these crises. And I feel like that got lost very quickly in this discussion about what the needs of the county's emergency operations are. So we have an offer on the table from the current seller. I know there's going to be hesitancy in that regard. This is a bonding project and requires 16 votes. I get there's probably other properties in the area we'd be willing to take a look, but I really do want to strongly emphasize that the shortcut, or what it seems like the comfortable position to take by moving us to Golden Hill and again throwing all of our eggs in one basket and not thinking about how we're going to manage through the next dozen storms and crises that we're going to inevitably encounter. We need to keep looking in that area. We need to spread out a bit more. So offers out there, I think it's been sent around. If it hasn't been, then I can start to circulate this more. time is of the essence in terms of how we execute on this. It's a big project. Our equipment in the 911 center is completely it's out of date. We need to get the new equipment in there. We need to get a space big enough to accommodate more staff that I will be asking for in this budget, because our dispatchers are getting overwhelmed. So I hope that we can, and I know in this committee, you guys have all been supportive of making sure that we're emphasizing what's best for emergency services, for E911. But I hope we can make that more part of the discussion going forward, so we're not distracted by the intangibles or the other parts of it. If not this property, we need to really seriously look in New Paltz, Town of Lloyd, that area. We need to spread out a bit more. So that's where we're at, 1.8 million, 6 acres. It will not allow us to do the solar and all the different things that we were talking about. But it's still very much a better location than Golden Hill and would much better serve the needs of the county. So with that, happy to answer any questions or take them back to the consulting team.
Thank you, Deputy Executive Kelly. Does anyone have any questions?
Chair?
Sure. Let's go with Legislator Maloney first and then Chair Figueroa.
I mean, it'll end up with a question, but I'd just like to say I resent being told that let's not squabble over $500,000 here or there when we need something so bad. We just almost handed $2 million to someone with a relationship to the county, and it seems like we never should have. Going off of an appraisal that we didn't do ourselves, basically, when we did an independent appraisal, it came in at that. I don't think we can ignore the fact that we almost just handed $4 million for a 50-acre brownfield, and now he comes back to the table like this. If we really needed a piece of property, which we may, even though I don't think the 911 center in Poughkeepsie has two trunk lines, I believe there's backup power. Most of these types of places have backup power, just one line coming in. So it's not, and if that's something we wanted to prioritize, then why didn't it start out with an open and honest search for multiple trunk lines on pieces of property, put it out there? The whole way this whole thing went down to me stinks. And now we're told, and this has been going on for 15 or more years that we've been trying to do this. So the idea we're in the final hour all of a sudden and there's nothing, this is the piece of property we have. I mean, I just find that to be just like, I don't even, it's just narrative creation. You know, this is our job to get the best possible location at the best possible price. And that's not what we're doing here. It's just, man, it's just unacceptable how we deal with things like this. And why didn't we do that, Chris? Why didn't we go out looking for open from the beginning, telling all the legislators, look, we're looking for a piece of property this size with multiple trunk lines? Because I've had three or four people tell me, I got this size piece of property over here. There's a couple of people in a Sophus that I've talked to all over the place that have said, I got a piece of property. It's 7 acres. It's got this, this, and this. I mean, this property wasn't even on the market when we first, when somehow we found this. And now I'm hearing the other night in planning, it's not feasible. Golden Hill isn't feasible, the planning director told the planning board. Now, is it not feasible, or did I just hear that it's not a good idea because we're so centric to the city of Kingston and they may not want us here anymore? I mean, I hear all these different reasons, and it just seems like we're just throwing things out there until we get the legislature to bite. And I just don't know how we can move on as a legislative body time after time after time with these kinds of deals. And when we now have, I mean, just a minute ago, if a couple of us didn't say something and the chair didn't go out and get that appraisal, we would have just paid this guy $4 million. And now we're not going to, because we asked a couple of questions and got an appraisal. But now we're supposed to take your word for everything again. I don't like the process. And I really resent the fact that we're now basically being told we're in the final hour when this can has been kicked down the road for 15 or more years.
Deputy Executive Kelly, would you like to respond to that?
So completely mischaracterized the entire process that we've been engaged in for approximately a year with Urban, NYSTEC, and experts in the field. So when you're talking about Dutchess County, they're also looking for a new site for their emergency operations center. When you're talking about standards for 15 years, obviously technology and standards have been upgraded to reflect what the services need. when we did the property assessments, we looked at over a dozen properties and we did prioritize trunk lines and redundancy. That was part of it. That was all part of it. And we presented that to the legislature. Urban and Alfondri presented that. So it was all out there and it's been out there for months. And I didn't say 30 seconds ago that this is the only viable property. This is the property that we selected after almost a year of searching with experts. And that appraisal that we ordered was independent. We ordered it. So it's just as independent as what the legislature ordered. So I want to be very clear that we went through a robust process. We've shared every document. And I don't like the mischaracterization that we've only selected one thing and we never looked at anything else. We spent a lot of time and a lot of consultant time and a lot of professional time and a lot of Everett's time on this process. If it's not this property, I want to be very clear. We need to look in that same area for something that's suitable for the need. Do not put all your eggs in one basket in Kingston. That's all. Thank you.
So thank you, Deputy Executive Kelly. And just so it's clear for everyone who is still on a meeting, that is not I feel that this process has been transparent, and I applaud the way that you guys have handled it from the County Executive's Office, from the Office of Emergency Management, and with the consulting group. And I'm speaking for myself here. Others can speak for themselves clearly. Deputy Chair Hansen.
I agree. We have been through many meetings, sat through many meetings. This is nothing new. And it shouldn't be anything new to anybody. We have sat and listened to different pieces of land throughout the county. And I agree that I think that they have done their homework and have selected a location that is the best for our residents of our county, and that they did do their homework. So I think they have really done their due diligence in finding a location that's best for everyone.
Can I ask a follow-up question just to clarify? Because I know we've a lot of talk of there being other properties has been thrown around. Have you received any specific property parcel addresses that have been suggested to you, Deputy Executive Kelly?
Sure. Deputy Chair Hansen and I have exchanged some property ideas, which have been extremely helpful, that we will look at. One of them is a known commercial property that's been vacant for some time, but then we have to, instead of being like, so part of the advantage of being at Paradise Lane and at the throughway is you're close to one of the major co-location rooms where fiber and different types of trunk lines naturally intersect. So being there means that bridging it over to the center is cheap. You're not running fiber or anything for long runs. If we move away from there and we're further away from those co-location rooms and have to make new runs for redundant fiber, that's an additional expense. So we have to take that into account. I can tell you, there's a few properties in that area. It may end up costing us more. It just may. So I get that this property has become this kind of like thing for several legislators because of who owns it or how it originated, how we got from 57 down to this. I get it. I'm not gonna discount that argument, but it doesn't change the advantages that the property presents that are unique over several others. So if we want to keep looking, don't short sell the county on just throwing us in the health building. I don't have anywhere to put the health department. So this whole shuffle that we're discussing and sandwiching in everything on a bad power lines with no redundancy doesn't make a ton of sense. So this is $1 million cheaper if we do this deal rather than doing it at Golden Hill. So we need to keep that in mind too. If it has to be another site, if that's the legislator's prerogative, let's please keep looking in a centralized location with the redundancy we need. This is a long-term large investment.
Legislator Hewitt. And then, sorry, I keep forgetting about Sheriff Figueroa. Let me, if it's all right, Chris, let's just go to the sheriff first because he's had his hand up for a while.
I just you know, I'm not familiar with the process that has been going on for over a year. I just wanted to tell you what I've seen from my eyes from the public safety perspective here in the sheriff's office where the emergency operations center was located. I wish you folks were here when the pandemic started so you could see how many people were crammed into a room that we had to go out and buy air conditionings. I wish you were here when the ice storm came and we had to rely on the generator because the power was out and the issues that we had, the potential issues we would have had if the power didn't come back here with the folks at the jail. This county needs a government operations center that works. Look at the other counties that actually just purchased and renewed, you know, what they have. There are a lot more storms that are going to continue to happen due to climate change. And I think for the purposes of public safety, that this is something that needs to be done. Again, I'm not involved in the process on how it was done or what locations picked. I'm just saying that we are so far behind that this needs to be done. And from a logistics perspective, which is something that I did for many, many years in the Marine Corps, I can tell you that you never want to put all your assets at one location. It just doesn't make sense. And to spread out and have backup plans throughout the county is a smart thing to do. And one last point, can we build something in Plattekill? There's nothing in my town. That's it. Thank you. And I appreciate you guys letting me talk. Take care.
Bye. Thank you, Sheriff. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that I agree with Deputy Executive Kelly that New Paltz or somewhere south like that is a great location. What was my other point? But I am happy about saving this much money. Before I went on my honeymoon to Italy, my mom taught me how to haggle. And the first person who I tried to haggle with yelled at me and I said, I'm sorry, I'll pay full price. So I am happy that we pushed a little because last time it was supposed to be lowest best offer and we got a better offer. Thank you.
Yep. And just to clarify for anyone entertaining the Golden Hill scenario, if you are still entertaining it, Chris, Deputy Executive Kelly, can you tell us how much the price difference is if we do the project at parities with the new price?
So it'll cost us $1 million more to do it on Golden Hill with the rehab, and that doesn't include moving health to a different to be determined location that we don't own or have identified.
Thank you. Any other questions, Deputy Chair Hansett?
Deputy Executive Kelly, and one of the big things about that piece on Golden Hill was that there is only one way in and one way out, correct? And that's an important issue.
Yes, you only have one mode of egress.
Yep.
All right. So perhaps this is a good point where we can draw this phase of the conversation to a close. Again, this is not before us. Our Legislator Erner, go ahead.
Thank you. How can the rest of the legislature see the updated offer and all of that? I did send you an email, Deputy Executive Kelly, but just wondering how we're all going to see that. And I see it's I'm a little confused. Like, I thought this committee might have had to vote on this. Does this not have a chance to go forward this month?
So right now, this is not in a resolution form or proposal at this point, and we haven't amended the existing resolution to reflect this at this time. In terms of getting the document, I think I can share this out. I'll share it to the committee chairs and whoever else. So, and then you guys can get it out. Okay.
Leader Heppner.
Yeah, just a quick question per that, just to follow up on Legislator Erner's comment. So it's my understanding from the chairs meeting is the goal to, because it's currently the current resolutions in Ways and Means. Mm-hmm. So would the intentions of the administration be to amend that resolution in Ways and Means per this offer?
At this point, yes.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah, we haven't finalized that part. Well, in about 12 hours, there'll be a shift in leadership here officially. not to say that there'll be a shift in strategy and priority, but I also want to respect that. And then we have Ways and Means on Tuesday. So I'm sure by then we'll be able to communicate what our intentions are.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Deputy Chair Hansen.
Just a quick question. What would be the time frame then? Are we looking, like, I know next week for, or the week, next week, Ways and Means? And then are we looking at this month, next month?
I mean, technically, if it was voted up or down on next Tuesday or the night of session, then it would be this month.
Okay, thank you.
But like I said, we still have to, you know, we're trying to hear feedback from you guys as the appropriators. And like I said, this is capital. This is 16. So, you know, we want to make sure that whatever we do, we have a sense of what your prerogative is as a legislative body for how we're going to move forward. So that's part of what we're doing now.
All right. And I will just add that I believe most of the members of Ways and Means have already been, this information has already been shared with them. So those questions, I believe, are surfacing already. All right. So if it's all right, I'm going to move on to the next item, which is an update on the agenda item is update on 2021 Justice Forum Task Force report and recommendations. But the real headline is that the staff, really, are the ones who did most of the work, have completed a review of all of the projects that came out of the 2021 Criminal Justice Reform Task Force report and recommendations. And we have a report that I shared with all of you over email earlier today that gives a status update on all of those items. So just to recap, that task force actually started before 2020, even. It was in late 2019. And I think it's a very common thing in this kind of environment to do a lot of hard work, to pass a lot of resolutions, and then to stop talking about it. So I thought it would be good on the 1 year anniversary to see how we've done. And I personally am incredibly proud of the work that everyone in this community and who is involved in this has done, the county executive's team, the sheriff, the legislature. We are working on a lot of these issues. I encourage you to read the report. I'm going to share it with the full legislature. And I also want to, you know, applaud my predecessor, Legislator Walter, who led this committee during that time. And I think did a great job. And I think that we should, make more of a practice of showing what work we've actually done as opposed to what work we're going to set off to do. So if anyone has any questions or points of discussion, I realize I just emailed it around, you know, in the last few hours. So I don't expect everyone has read it yet. Legislator Erner.
Oops. I just want to thank you for having done that. I look forward to reading it.
Great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And you know, I will say you asked me early in the year about how all of that is going, and it got me thinking about it. It was really a conversation you and I had that kind of led me to prioritize this. So I appreciate you, Legislator Erner, for always holding us all accountable. All right. So if there's no other questions on that, the last item here is it's relating to a resolution. So the new business item is space needs assessment, including the Ulster County Jail. There is a resolution. It's resolution 481. It's not before this committee right now, but anyone who was present during the prior term when we were talking about the Board of Elections space and figuring out where they should go, there was a conversation that came out of there regarding, and I think an even earlier conversation than that was just my first exposure to it, around a space needs assessment for the county. And it happens that resolution for performing the space needs assessment for the county is before us this month. And I know that there are a lot of reasons to be excited about that. The reason I'm bringing it before this committee is because a few of us have long been talking about how there is a problem with the law enforcement center, specifically two areas of the law enforcement center that are particularly problematic. One, the outdoor recreation space that is in no ways outdoors whatsoever, literally an indoor space. The only thing that makes it outdoors is that it's like not heated, and it has a chain link fence you can see outside. So that is a problem that a number of us have wanted to solve for a long time. Another issue with the law enforcement center is the sheriff really needs a dedicated garage. There are a lot of reasons for this. Obviously, there's lots of vehicles that the sheriff's office maintains. Also, one of the types of evidence that the sheriff's office has to take custody over is vehicles. And these are very, obviously this is a very sensitive thing, for those that, just to give a little background on that, not only is a vehicle a place that a crime can be committed, it's also a place that evidence can be stored. And it's also a vehicle can also serve as a weapon. And those are some of the complex reasons that the vehicle storage is so critical for the sheriff's office. And so when we recently brought these ideas forward, we were informed by Deputy Executive Kelly that these can actually be rolled into the space needs assessment. And so because these are topics that I know this committee cares about, I wanted to bring them up here so that we can hear from the county executive's team confirmation that those are going to be included in the space needs assessment, and also so that we can start just kind of in the back of our minds thinking about how these conversations are going to be happening in the months and years ahead. And I don't know, Sheriff Figueroa, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Absolutely. I commend the chair and the legislature to come and look at the jail. I'm always happy to show folks the law enforcement committee, because it's important for the legislature to know the importance of the role of the legislature. The recreation area, since I took office, this place was built 20 years ago, just as we all know, not sufficient. When someone is here for a short term and they don't even get the opportunity to see the sun, I think is inhumane. And so I'm happy that this is something that we're going to look at. I'm excited about it. And of course, the garage we're also losing because of the new agreement to tear down the old jail. We had our impound lot up there. And so we do not, we have to move out of there. And so that garage / impound lot is what we're looking to add here. And the other part of that that project would be that of storage of weapons. We have, because of the new laws that New York State put in place regarding TERPOs and regarding, just recently we had to shut down a business that has over 500 long guns and 400 pistols, and the court ordered us to retrieve that and store it. We do not have the room any longer here at the sheriff's office to do that. So that's why this project is the combination of those projects are extremely important to us. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions on that, or any commentary from Deputy Executive Kelly on the topic? You're welcome. I mean, you don't have to, but if you would like to add anything, you're welcome to.
No, I mean, I think when we execute on the contract and do those initial interviews, then I'll just make sure that I can update the committee, and the sheriff, I'm sure, will hold me accountable to make sure that we listen to his space needs.
Thank you. This is definitely a priority that I know many members of the legislature are excited to see come to the surface. So I appreciate everyone working together on this. It was like the first, before I even was sworn in, I did a tour of the jail, and it was the most egregious thing I came away with was the outdoor space situation. So thank you. All right. That is the last item here. Does anyone have any other new business to bring forward? Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
All right. Motion from Legislator Hewitt, second from Deputy Chair Hansett. All those in favor? Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you all. I really, really appreciate it. This committee makes my week.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Take care, y'all. Talk to you
soon. Thank you.